Does anybody remember what we learned and talked about in the first lesson? Do you like the fish thing last week? Okay. That was the second lesson, though. Yeah. Oikos, those people we're related to or have connection with, yes. And looking at that and making a list of people that we can be praying for, specifically that we're looking at having the opportunity to share the gospel with. And then last week we talked about the FISH acronym. Does anybody remember what that stood for? Find out was the first one. Find out about them, their interest. Interest is the second one. Create interest, yes. Share about your own self. Help, right? Offer them help. All right, so and then we also talked about our testimony, giving our testimony. And how long is our testimony supposed to be?
3 minutes.
3 minutes and not a second longer, right? And what are the three things that we want to have included in our testimony? Okay, where I was before Christ, what brought me to Christ, and how that changed me, where I'm at now, right? So we really want to focus in on that idea of what Christ has done to bring about transformation or change in my life, all right? So that's our personal testimony, not our life story, just a three-minute thing. All right, so today we're going to talk about how do you steer a conversation to spiritual matters to have the opportunity to share the gospel. So grab a Bible if you don't have one, if you have one, whatever, grab one. Open it up to John chapter 4. So this is a bit of a long story, but we're going to read the whole thing, and then I'll have you discuss some questions in your groups there. John chapter 4, verse 1. Not First John. I'm preaching out of First John, but we're talking about the Gospel of John. It's just John all the time, everywhere, all the time. Maybe God is trying to speak to us through John. All right, verse 1. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Boy, that sounds like our culture now, doesn't it? This is just a little aside, right? You can't talk to me. You're not fit in my demographic. You know? Oh, well. All right, verse 10. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. Yeah, okay. Big long story. Three questions. I want you guys to discuss this in your little groups. And if your group isn't here, you can just join in with somebody else. First question, if you had to boil it down, in which verse does Jesus share the essence of the gospel with the Samaritan woman? So I want you to look through this and find one verse that you think is where Jesus is sharing the essence of the gospel. Second question, how did Jesus get from an everyday conversation about water to the point where he's sharing the essence of the gospel? In other words, how did he steer the discussion? All right? So first question, where does he share the essence of the gospel? And second question, how does he get to that point? And third question, in verses 16 to 18, Jesus is very direct with the Samaritan woman. What was his purpose in being so direct? All right, that's where he tells her about you've had five husbands and the guy you're with now isn't your husband. All right, so what is his purpose in being so direct in that? Take a few minutes in your groups, discuss those three questions. Yes, no, give me some sort of feedback you're still working on. Okay. All right, first question. Where do you see Jesus sharing the essence of the gospel? Anybody? Verse 26, so at the end of that, when he says, I who speak to you am he. All right, anybody have anything different than that? 14, all right. Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So he keeps throwing her curveballs, redirecting her. What was your comment, Nikki? Just because she doesn't understand it doesn't mean it's not the essence of the gospel there. All right, well, that's part of where we're going with this. Good. All right. All right. What about the second question? How did Jesus steer the discussion? Curveballs. A series of statements that are not really quite clear. Verse 16. What about verse 16? It says, go call your husband and come back. All right. So he's making her face her sin or her brokenness in her life. All right. Yeah. Good point. All right, what about the third questions? What is verse 16 through 18 all about? He was making himself credible so she would believe him. That's the fastball down the middle. Showing her need for salvation, right? Okay, so this is the key thing here, I think. It goes with what Diane just said about helping her to understand her sins, showing it to her, bringing it to light. Maybe a little bit of humbling her, okay? That he knew ahead of time about the five husbands. Yeah. Yeah. So Jesus goes from a request for water, hey, can I get a drink of water, to I am the Messiah in a pretty short period of time here. I mean, he bridges across that. And I think there's some things that we can draw out of that. Three elements of that conversation that I think we can put into use as well. The first one is Jesus got to the point pretty quickly. He didn't let it stay a mundane conversation. As a matter of fact, he's pretty insistent about it, wasn't it? She kept trying to go back to talking about, yeah, other stuff, natural water, or where are we going to, and he just keeps redirecting her back, right? So he doesn't let it be just another mundane conversation. He's purposeful in asking questions to direct the conversation to the spiritual level. So that's something we can do, right? We can be purposeful in saying, I don't want to leave this conversation at this level. I want to drag it up to this level where we're going to talk about spiritual things. How can you do that? Throw some ideas out at me. The spiritual lead. All right, so that's one thing. We've got to be able to look at this in terms of what's from a spiritual perspective is going on in this person's life, so to be able to see underneath that, but also looking for opportunities where we can come along. If they're sharing something important about themselves, if somebody is asking a significant question, you know, those might be opportunities for us to come along and, well, let me tell you something about myself and share your testimony. Just that simple. You don't have to have a whole lead-in. You can just, You know, thank you for sharing that and telling me about you. Let me tell you something about me too. Or you can just ask a question, right? Especially if they've brought it to a level of serious discussion. If they're talking about something they're dealing with and in their life. And so ask this question. Well, what's your religious perspective? What religion do you follow? What would you say about your relationship with God right now? What are your spiritual beliefs? Right, you can just ask that question. Just come out with it and say, ask them where they're at. Now, 99% of the time when you're dealing with a non-Christian, what kind of response are you going to get? Okay, I think that's a good point there. All right, so people tend to say things like, oh, I was raised in the church, or I went to church when I was a kid, or something like that. In the church, right? And they're going to talk about the church. And what we can do with that is direct them back to, but I didn't ask about the church. What I'm interested in is, what's your relationship with God? What's your personal connection with Him? And helping them, because that's where people want to find, they want to push it off a level to, well, it's about the church and that kind of stuff. But you're trying to dig deeper, so we want to ask that question. Okay, well, I'm glad you asked, because that leads right into the next kind of thing, which is asking this question. In your way of believing, how does a person get to heaven? Or how does a person deal with the separation between himself and God? Or how do you measure whether things are good with you or in God or not? Right, and you're going to get those kinds of answers, right? Right? So the point here in doing asking these kinds of questions, you know, so in that instance, that particular instance, that woman had a need, but she didn't want to acknowledge that that need was connected to spiritual world or God in any way, right? But there was definitely a need already there. And like in the scripture, in this instance, Jesus is showing this woman her need. She's kind of trying to push him off, and so Jesus is like, look, you got problems. You've had five husbands, you got another guy now, things are not going well, right? and then he's suggesting there's an answer. So the thing we want to do for people is to ask them, get them to identify, all right, well, how does it work in your belief system? And 99% of the time, it's going to come down to some form of good works, basically. Some form of, well, I do this, right? I go to church, or I am a good person, or I read my Bible, or I pray. I mean, some sort of doing something good. That's going to be a lot of the time. So, you know, at that point, we can bring in Ephesians chapter 2. Basically, people end up saying it's through my own efforts, right? It's through what I do, or it's through my determination of what feels good, you know, or right, or whatever. But I have total control of this. But in Ephesians, this is what we read. As for you, I'm starting verse 1, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. It is by grace you have been saved, through faith. This is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So if a person is saying, basically, you know, well, it's through my own efforts, then we recognize, obviously, that this is not what the Christian teaching is. It's not through our own efforts, and it's not through our own evaluation, right? So, you know, one thing to do with that is to ask the follow-up question, well, how do you know when a person has done enough? How do I know when things are right between me and God? What are the measuring sticks that we use, right? And when is enough? When is enough? And the point of asking that question is to show that there is no enough. All right, so that's all around helping them to see that their belief system is inadequate in whatever way it is. You're not directly attacking it. Oh, that's wrong. No. You don't want to be in conflict, creating conflict in that way. But rather, you just want to talk to them. I mean, like maybe they'll say, well, I'm a Muslim or something. And then so in that situation where they're not saying I grew up in the church, they're saying, oh, I'm a Muslim. You say, well, in your faith, how does a person resolve their relationship with God? Well, all religions are the same. Oh, okay. Well, we have a common problem, which is our relationship with God. How, in your view, is that resolved? Right? So you don't have to come at them and say, oh, you're wrong, because that pretty much ends things, right? But you can take what they're saying and just ask questions. Question asking is a wonderful thing. You ought to pay attention sometime as you read through a gospel. How many times Jesus asks a question, even in this passage? Jesus is always asking questions, right? Rather than spouting off something, he's asking questions. Like you guys said, in this, it's not to the very end that he comes out and he's really clear about who he is. All right, so after you've talked to that person and they've explained to you, well, how is it that, you know, a person gets saved, or how is it that a person gets right with God, or how is a person's shame taken care of, or how is sin removed, or, you know, you can ask that question any number of ways, but after you get a response from that, now you're in this discussion about salvation, right? I mean, you're in the middle of the discussion. They've just told you their view of what salvation is, and so it flows really natural out of that to say, well, I have a different view. Let me tell you what that is, right? And now you have an opening to share the gospel, just like that. So it doesn't have to be. Yeah, John. Yes, open-ended question. Yes, good point, John. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, exactly. You want this to be a discussion for the most part. I mean, this is what we're doing. We're not trying to lecture somebody into God's kingdom. We're trying to relationship, you know, be in relationship, and that means discussion, question, and give and take. And so many times, at least when I grew up, we were taught, you know, you just tell them the gospel, and there was no interest in where this person or what their life is or the things that they're doing or what they believe now, right? And so what I'm suggesting here is that we're entering into conversation. This is likely somebody you already have a relationship with. That's why we did the prayer list in the first week and talked about the oikos and stuff. So this is already somebody you know, or at least at some level, and you're building that relationship. Now you're including the world of spiritual things in your relationship. So you do care about that person. You want to know what they believe, and you want to share with them what you believe and why you believe that, right? So that'll be next week when we actually get into how do I present the gospel itself. And I'll just give you a preview. Maybe some of you might remember Easter sermon this year. I had a big whiteboard up here, and I did three circles and kind of talked through that. Well, I'm going to teach you that in much easier, simpler form where it won't take 20 minutes. But you can draw three circles and ask a question on a napkin, you know, at lunch, and have a discussion about the gospel itself. All right. So even when you're telling them, well, here's what I believe, you can still maintain a discussion. So asking a lot of questions, open-ended questions, probing, what do you believe? right? And digging to find, to get them to verbalize it. My guess is that there'll be a number of people in our culture today that haven't really thought this all through. And when you say, well, explain to me in your view, how is it that somebody maintains a relationship with God or restores a relationship with God, they'll be like, I don't know, I've never really thought about it. That's what I remembered from those few months I went to Sunday school when I was, you know, 9. And this is the thing, in our culture today, you are more likely to run into ignorance than you are into resistance or antagonism. You know, people are, they're interested in spiritual things. Well, we don't want them on the defensive. So Scott's comment was, people can go pretty quickly from ignorance to being defensive. And Alice's comment was, questions can help with that, especially open-ended questions that avoid judgmental nature. But at the end of the day, right? At the end of the day, Jesus said to this woman, I'm he. I am the Messiah. I'm the one, you know? And that's bottom line for us is there is a truth, and all religions are not the same. And there is some point at which somebody needs to grapple with that. And being defensive is often the first step towards accepting the truth. Not that we're trying to make people defensive, but if they respond defensively, you may have planted a seed that can be watered later. Okay, so there's the key, doing it in love. And that's what I was saying before about this is likely somebody you have a relationship with already. And that you're doing this not to, look, I'm not trying to make you mad. I just want you to understand what I believe, right? And if the Holy Spirit is convicting you of this, then maybe we should have some more discussion about it. The idea, the basic idea that we are seeing here is taking an everyday conversation and not leaving it there, but asking questions and directly to move it into spiritual focus, right? And in that spiritual focus, then, to begin to delve and prompt and discover their worldview, their spiritual understanding, right? All of that to gain not just insight into their spiritual understanding, but also to gain an opportunity for you then to share your understanding, your truth. And we'll get into next week, how do I share the gospel directly once I have that opportunity? But I wanted you to get through this. So here's what I'd like for us to do. We have a few minutes left here. So in your group, I want you to do a little role play. One of you pick one of you who's going to be a non-Christian, and the rest of you or another one of you can be the person who is talking to them, and take a conversation, start off talking about the weather or, you know, football or whatever it is, and transition it into spiritual things, right? And just try to walk through, ask some of these questions, right? So you guys are all smiling at me like, all right, this sounds really awkward. Yep, absolutely. But wouldn't you rather do it the really awkward times in here with us rather than with somebody that you're trying to share the gospel with, right? So take a few minutes, do that in your groups. John, why don't you can come over here and join this other group if you are by yourself.